What are you and I afraid of? I ask that because I have a hunch that we're rarely aware of just how significant a role fear plays in many of our decisions, our actions, our conversation, and how it affects our relationships with one another. In today's gospel, we see Jesus with his disciples caught on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a storm. The disciples were terrified and are naturally afraid. Then what happens? Jesus calms the sea and grills them on why they are afraid. Jesus then goes on to chide them about having no faith. If I were in the boat, I'd probably have said, "Jesus, what's wrong with you? Why do you think we're afraid? We're in danger." I can identify with those disciples on rough water. Some years ago, I was on vacation in Whistler in British Columbia, which later became the 2010 Winter Olympics site. I went with a close college friend, his mother and sister. On our first morning in Whistler, I saw this ad about rafting down the Green River. I suggested it. I had never been rafting. But Mary, my friend's mother, who was 75 years old at the time, now 95, said, "Oh, I went rafting down the Colorado River, and it was a lot of fun, so let's do it." Well, I thought if Mary is game, so am I. After all, it couldn't be that dangerous if she's done it already. Was I in for a big surprise? When we got to the place and had already paid our money, they told us we were going to wear wetsuits because the water was freezing cold. We wore special foot gear, helmets, enormous life jackets, and we were going to do all the paddling down the rapids. These were not lazy river rapids. These were Category 3 and 4 rapids. For comparison, Olympic rapids are Category 5 or 5 plus. Not knowing anything about rapids, I thought, what the heck, until I saw the pictures of what we were in for. We got dressed in our gear, and all of us were afraid and dared say nothing to one another. My heart was beating as we traveled on the bus to be dropped off by the river. The road went along the river, and I saw the rapids, fast-moving water, rocks and trees in the water. And indeed, it was not the kind of rafting Mary did in Colorado. This was the real thing, and there was no turning back. Boy, did I know what those disciples must have felt like in that boat with Jesus. It came home to me when we had to sign papers relieving the tour company of liability in case of dismemberment and death. The rapids were so rough and our raft was so small that the waves swept right over me. I was placed in the front and took the brunt of the water. Mary, the 75-year-old, sat near the guide who grabbed her several times from falling out of the raft. There's a picture of me, and all you can see is the top of my oar and the very top of my helmet. Other than that, I'm completely under the 40-degree water of the rushing mountain river, and there's a copy of the photo I put on the back of the table. So if you're wondering why that photo's there, now you know why. I learned afterwards that Mary was the second oldest person ever to have rafted with this company down that river. Afterwards, it was exhilarating, but I can tell you while it was happening, I was anxious. I was afraid. I felt responsible for taking this group into this activity which posed real physical danger. After getting through the rapids and filled with adrenaline, the raft guide asked who wanted to be dragged behind the raft down the river. Without hesitation, I grabbed the rope and jumped into the freezing water as the raft pulled me behind it. Fear can have a positive side to it. In cases where there is real and physical danger, it is a way that alerts us of the potential consequences. The disciples in the storm felt real physical peril. However, fears that don't pose real danger can debilitate us. Who doesn't remember FDR's injunction to the nation? The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Today, we seem governed by all kinds of fears. I think FDR was right in the 1930s, and I think it applies to us today as well. Often we expressed our fears about things where there is little to be afraid of. In the 6 months I've been here, I've heard folks express fears from time to time. We don't have all we need. We don't have the funds we need to finish the hall. We don't have enough people to run the events or do all the work around the church that we used to have, as many of us are getting older and older. We don't have enough young people coming to church like they used to in the past. I'm afraid because the world is changing around me so quickly and there's nothing I can do to stop it. So I stay in fear. Yet time and time again in my short time here, I have experienced abundance. That we need not accept this fear because we have all we need and nothing to fear but fear itself. Jesus chides his disciples about having little faith, but I think it's really a deficit of trust. When I'm afraid, I have a really, really hard time trusting. Fear paralyzes, making trusting and the confident action that trust makes possible very difficult, if not impossible. Trust is essential in all relationships. I find it amazing that the concept of money is totally built on trust. The whole society is built on a premise that these pieces of paper have value. We all agree on it and trust one another to honor that idea. And in spite of the times of a troubled economy, the entire world trusts that these pieces of U.S. paper have real value. The same is true when it comes to our traffic laws. We simply trust to know that people will adhere to agreed ideas to maintain order and safety. For the most part, people do follow these rules, all of it built on trust of one another. However, when we're fearful, trust breaks down. We can see that happening in our political discourse. Our ability to agree to disagree has been largely replaced by being disagreeable. Imagined fears underlie much of our current situation. Yet Jesus offers another alternative. As followers of Jesus, we are called to replace fear with trust. Trust that we will be given all that we need. Trust that when one of us is in troubles, others will be there to share the load. Trust that in the midst of suffering and death, we will have one another in our families, among our neighbors, and in our community to help us weather the storms of life like this past week I experienced with my own family. And when we trust, we get a proper perspective. We stop shouting like little chicken that the sky is falling and start looking around to appreciate all the blessings we have. Interestingly, the disciples' fear doesn't evaporate with the stilling of the sea, but it's transformed from a paralyzing anxiety that assumes the worst into a kind of holy awe at the presence and power of the one in their midst. They thought they knew Jesus, and now they have to wonder if they really did know him. If he can do this to the sea, what else is he capable of? They had a moment of transformation of fear into awe, as this passage told us today. Fear is real for us, even if it comes about in our imagination and isn't of any real threat. The consequences of breaking down trust are a byproduct of fear. And when we lose trust, we tear at the very fabric of our community and society as a whole. I think the invitation before us today is to bring our fears, anxieties, and concerns to God as best as we can and watch as they are transformed and we are amazed again at this God who never, ever ceases to surprise us. By bringing our fears to God, we have the opportunity of seeing our fears transformed into awe. Awe that inspires and builds trust in God, in ourselves, and in one another. Amen.